from day one, when General Gresham went to Sudan, whatever the government of Sudan was doing, it got the approval from Washington indirectly. Of course, General Gresham has good intentions, but knowing the government of Sudan that committed all these atrocities in the south and in Darfur, that is not the way to deal with a government who actually preys always on the weak and the vulnerable and committed genocide in Darfur. At this point, the paramount concern of Darfur is living in the United States is the safety of our people in the ITP camps. The government of Sudan is attacking the civilians and using the same methods of bombing by Antonovs and the Janjaweed are unleashed. They couldn't have done this if there was a harsh response from Washington, D.C., even just rhetoric. So we reached a conclusion that having this post filled by General Gresham is kind of encouragement to the government of Sudan to just go on with its atrocities on our people. Having the post vacant is more deterrent to the government of Sudan than having General Gresham on the post, because the government of Sudan, last January, when it was hit by the Israeli aerial attacks in the east, they thought that President Obama is serious in curbing them, and they thought that that was the American attack. So by not having the special envoy, General Gresham, it was more deterrent than having him on board. But having General Gresham out of the post, that will give pause to the government of Sudan before they try an attack.
What type of effect do you think a vacancy would have on the Khartoum government at this time to see a special ambassador being replaced?
Well, Khartoum invested time and money that General Gresham will help them getting back into the international community and accept it as a regular state rather than a state that carried genocide against its people. They feel that the person who acted like a buffer between the hardliners in Washington and acting against government of Sudan, that person is no longer there. So they have to really shape up on their deeds. And the impact from our point of view will be positive by having Gresham not in that post, but definitely for the government of Sudan, that will be a tremendous loss.
In your letter to the White House, you claim that President Bashir could become more emboldened if the policies being pursued by General Gresham continue. Isn't it also possible that in the absence of a special U.S. ambassador, the Bashir administration could become more emboldened not to bring about a solution to the violence in Darfur?
That's a possibility, but having Gresham on board will give comfort to the government of Sudan, and as we see, emboldened more and more, even in carrying out attacks in Darfur. But by not having General Gresham there and having that post vacant, if the reaction is harsh, I don't think that the government of Sudan will venture in operations that carried out just recently in Korma or in Darfur area, because in the administration, they are hawkish people, actually supporters of Darfur, like Ambassador Susan Rice or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton, who have clear stance on the atrocities going on in Khartoum.
Do you feel betrayed by the Obama administration's pledges to give Sudan top priority in foreign policy for the new administration?
Yes, we feel so, and we are echoing the reaction of our people, because when Obama was running for the presidency of the United States, he, as a candidate, really promised to stop the genocide in Darfur, and he was really very harsh in criticizing the Bush administration, even just by talking about normalization. Now, after being in office 9 months, we have seen all these actions taken by the government of Sudan against the innocent people in Darfur. We cannot point to any achievement coming from the administration. Then one can say, yes, Obama fulfilled his promises to stop those killers in Khartoum from carrying more atrocities in Darfur. Even the support of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, we feel it is lagging coming from the administration. So all these things, actually, it just kind of shocked us as Darfurists, because the last thing that we expected from government or administration of Obama, not acting. But till now, we cannot point to a single achievement that we can point out to say, yes, Obama did this for people of Darfur.
How much consideration went into the decision by Darfuri expatriate groups to call for General Gresham's replacement?
Well, it started since March after the ICC warrant of arrest against al-Bashir and then the expulsion of the NGOs. Since then, we have been following very closely the conditions in the camps, and we hope that appointing General Gresham will restore at least some of the crucial services in the camps. And that was our fairest shock. that none of the 13 NGOs at that time returned. And really, the government of Sudan had their way in dealing a blow to the humanitarian aid in the camps. Since then, Gresham was not able to do much to restore those services. Then came the bombardments of the government of Sudan last May in areas of Musbat and Ambaru, this in North Darfur. We didn't hear any reaction from General Gresham, and we were also surprised to hear him saying that the humanitarian aid was restored 100% in the camps, while we hear in the radio the Banga voices of the Darfuris suffering and complaining that, number one, the rainy season wreaked havoc in the camps, and the food situation was getting worse, the security was getting worse because the Janjaweed had their own way in terrorizing the camps, entering in midnight and firing rounds of ammunition. So all those things added up, and always we look and wait for some kind of reaction from the special envoy, but nothing happened on that. In fact, the government of Sudan got more belligerent. So all this added up and culminated in, like 10 days ago, the attack of government of Sudan on the Karma area. And what resulted from that, the government of Sudan felt like they had a free hand to do whatever they need to do, and without fearing any reprimand or condemnation from General Gresham. We reached to a point where we said our people's lives are in danger, and if this goes on like this, just our blood will be spilled over in Darfur without the government fearing nothing coming from Washington, D.C.
On the Sudan side of the equation, we are at a very critical point now facing the renewal of the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement for Southern Sudan. How do you think current U.S. policy in staying the course on Darfur is steering the parties as far as next year's elections rapidly approach?
I call it like appeasing policy of General Gresham towards the government of Sudan. It encourages the government of Sudan to renege in all its obligations to fulfill those signed agreements, including the EPA agreement. And what happened actually, because the government of Sudan, they can, the implementation of EPA, they see it as carrying their own demise. So what happened to violence in South now, and the government of Southern Sudan traced some of the weapons and actors and ammunition to Khartoum. And definitely, if there is no U.S. envoy filling that post and standing firm in the face of government of Sudan will take advantage of either, say, like a person like Gresham handling the policy in Sudan, and it will just unwind and undo the CPA agreement. At the same time, also, their eye is render the referendum in 2011 irrelevant or ineffective by making it very difficult. And we can see now they are renegotiating the referendum requirements and about the 50% or 75%. And they say that clearly in their media, we have to make the secession difficult by putting more impediments. So they will continue doing that as long as they find no resistance or nobody that from, say, like Washington, actually, to stop them. So definitely this will have serious consequences if General Gresham continues in this post as the special envoy of the President of the United States, and that will be detrimental to the CPA agreements and even to the referendum. And not to mention, definitely, it will be derailed by the CPA in Iraq, so NCP, the National Congress Party in Khartoum.
Have you received any word from the White House reacting to your call for the replacement of the special envoy? And what do you think, even if they did go along with you, what would be the impact not to have an ambassador in place at such a critical time when the future of the entire Sudanese country, north and south, is at stake?
Well, the special envoy is a kind of go-between between Washington and Khartoum, or between Washington and Sudan in general. Now, if that post turns out to be harmful to the people of Sudan, especially the people in Darfur and the south, definitely that post will not only lose its importance and function, but also it will become of counterproductive. So to answer your question, till now I didn't receive any reply or answer to our letter, but I believe that somehow it will come to their attention that what the Darfuris in the United States are calling for, and simply because We are original from Darfur, and we have relatives there in the camps and in those cities, and they are suffering. And it is time, actually, to stand with them and bring the actual opinion of the Darfuris here and even in the camps to the administration that this is what the Darfuris are calling for in order to resolve the problem of Darfur. The problem, therefore, is humanitarian, and at the same time, also, it is, yes, there's genocide going on, and there's kind of a problem to, you know, without boundaries. I mean, you cannot just say this for Sudan or so, it concerns all humanities. In order to resolve that problem, the administration really has to solicit the opinions of the Darfuris here in the United States and in outside the United States, and especially the people in the camps. So Obama's administration, if they are really and genuinely they want to resolve the problem of Darfur, they have to listen to the Darfuris, like those people who signed this letter.
Do you feel that it's fair to blame General Gration for all the difficulties with the policy so far? And where has U.S. policy towards Sudan gone wrong, and what needs to be corrected?
The policy of the United States government since Obama took over lacked that attention. All the promises that we heard from candidate Obama, we didn't see them since January 20th when he was inaugurated. And even the appointment of General Gration as special envoy, it came very late. It came in March. So from get-go, they gave a wrong signal to the governor of Sudan that Darfur or the issue of Sudan is not their priority. And when that was read by the government in Khartoum, they really took advantage of that. Now, blaming General Gration, yes, I mean, from the start, when al-Bashir, who was indicted by the ICC, defied the world and kicked out the humanitarian aid, everybody knew that that action alone, it rendered the lives of the Darfuris to danger. When you hear the statements of General Gration, it seems that things are getting back to normal. But from our people on the ground and in the camps, the reality there is far different from what the statements from the Office of General Gration said. Al-Bashir, he expelled 13 NGOs. And even with his own statements, General Gration says that the government of Sudan allowed 4 NGOs. Now, if you go and take those NGOs expelled, for example, U.S. Care or Doctors Without Borders, those NGOs have experience for 20 years or more dealing with the people of Darfur. They know exactly, anticipate problems like when the rainy season comes. Those are experienced NGOs. The 4 NGOs which went into Darfur, they are very small ones, and at the same time, they are not experienced in dealing with problems that are happening in Darfur. No, the level of humanitarian aid is not restored. It is far, far below what is needed in Darfur.